Great. Good evening, everybody. The recording has started. Shmuel Plotzker coming at you live from Cincinnati, Ohio, in our Gulf Manor Synagogue School of Jewish Studies. We are currently studying 1 Kings. It's Tanakh Tuesdays, and that means that every Tuesday night at 7:30, we gather together here at Gulf Manor Synagogue, and we study currently Melachim Aleph, 1 Kings, and we're in the 7th chapter. So if you have the book in front of you, great, I'll do the reading, and you can do some of the listening, and I hope you'll enjoy it. This is going to be dedicated to all those who are sick and ill throughout the world, in the Jewish world, who need a refuah shleima. Now, I got to tell you that we've been doing this kind of material now for a month or so, 2 months, whatever. We did the 6th chapter, now we're in the 7th chapter. I got to confess, it doesn't really do a lot for me personally. I don't find it very edifying or uplifting. We're talking about, you know, architecture. We're talking about how Solomon created it. I'm just not on the level to appreciate the spirituality of it all. And for that, I apologize. I don't really know what to say. I mean, it's not like there's a narrative that I can sink my teeth into. It's not like it's a prayer. Coming up in the 8th chapter, there's going to be a very long tefillah from Shlomo Melech. And that actually makes an appearance in the Haftarahs. And it's beautiful, and we're going to rip it apart. We'll have a great time with it. But we have to get there. So please be patient. We're not going to quite daven this up, but we're going to do the next best thing. We're going to read it. I'm going to read the translation. I'm going to read the commentary on the bottom. And I'm going to just keep on going because I don't really know what to add to it. It doesn't really, unfortunately, it's not really speaking to me. But at the very least, we can do what we can, and we are on verse 18. So this is 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 18. Vayas es ha'amudim. He made the pillars. This is probably Hiram creating on behalf of Solomon the various houses, Shlomo's house. He made the pillars. Ushnei turim saviv, two rows roundabout. Al ha'sevacha ha'achas, upon the one network, lechasos es hakosoros, to cover the chapiters. Remember, chapiters are this like top level an ornamental head on top of a pillar, or a diadem or a crown on top of a pillar. That's what a chapiter is. Okay. So he made the pillars in two rows round about upon the one network to cover the chapiters. Asher al rosh harimonim, which were upon the top with pomegranates, the chenasa la koseres hashenis, and so he did for the other chapter. So now let's read the Rashi in English and the footnotes and see what we can glean from this, and then we're going to move on. Verse 18: two rows he made the pillars and two rows round about of two rows of pomegranates and of brass. Says Rashi, the pomegranates were inserted into the chain work which encircled the chapiters. This explained in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 16, and in the Mishnah of the 49 measurements. Sadly, like we said last week, a book that we no longer have with us, but that Rashi apparently did have. Okay, lechasos es hakosoros, to cover the chapiters which were on the top. With pomegranates, that's what the scripture says. This is a very long one. This is a very, very long Rashi, so we'll read it. Literally, they were upon the top of the pomegranates. But this verse is in a disarranged order. It should read as follows, that, quote, the pomegranates should cover the chapiters which were on the top. And thus were the chapiters made according to the order of the apparent translation of the verses. Each one was in the form of two bowls. The receptacle of the lower bowl was facing upward, and it is called gula, a bowl, as it is said in this subject, chapter 7, verse 41, later on, the gulos hakosaros, bowls of these chapiters. And Yonasan, Targum Yonasan, renders it, and the bowls of the chapiters, exactly. The upper bowl was inverted in the lower one. Its receptacle was facing downward, and this was svacha, a net, as it is said in this subject, also same verse, chapter 7, verse 41, and the two networks to cover the two bowls of the chapiters. It is therefore found that in the place of attachment it is wide, and it slopes going upward, and it slopes going downward, and this place of attachment is called a stomach. And thus did Jonathan translate, Milu'umas HaBeten, chapter 7, verse 20, against the place of attachment. We'll get to that very soon. And the height of these two bowls was 4 cubits. And this is what he said in chapter 7, our chapter, verse 19. Next verse, lily work in the porch, 4 cubits. These bowls were decorated inside with the likes of flowers of lilies in the same manner of decorations which were on the wall of the porches. This occupied 4 cubits of the 5 cubits in height, and the 5th cubit was a small chapiter on top of the big one. This is what was said earlier in verse 2, and there were chapiters above, also upon the 2 pillars. All that was Rashi. The Radak maintains that this verse is not in an inverted order and abides by a literal rendering thereof. The chapiters were on the pillars, and the pomegranates were on the chapiters. And adds Radak, there were other chapiters on the pomegranates. The Mitzudah says that the chapiters were not on the pomegranates, but near them. He explains this as follows. The pomegranates were hanging from the bottom part of the upper bowl. They were, therefore, near the top of the lower bowl and also covering it. The verse will be rendered thus. The rows were upon the network, which was made to cover the lower bowl of the chapiter, that is, the upper part of the lower bowl, which was close to the top of the pomegranates, as they were suspended from the lower part of the upper bowl. The word al will be translated near. The Malbim declares that the pomegranates were suspended by chains, as in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 16. There were 2 rows of chains which were attached to the top of the pomegranates and not to the middle. The pomegranates, in this manner, covered the lower bowl of the chapiter. Accordingly, the verse is rendered simply. Verse 19. Yotes v'chosoros asher al rosh ha'amudim ma'ase shushan ba'ulam. And the chapiters which were upon the top of the pillars were of lily work in the porch, arba amos, 4 cubits. Says the Rashi and the translation on the bottom, lily work, ma'ase shushan. The word shushan is the name of a certain flower, which usually has 6 leaves. The stem of the word, shesh, 6. So says the Mitzudas Tiyam. In the porch, al rosh amudim, in the porch, ba'ulam, ma'ase shushan, a work of lily work, ba'ulam, in the porch, says the Radak, the word ulam usually refers to the arch of the ceiling. The lily work was on the chapiters, which were at the top of the pillars, which were closest to the ceiling. Finally, it's also possible for ulam to be translated porch. The lily work was attached to the chapiters after the pillars were placed in the porch, so says the Mitzudas David. Verse 20, the choseros al shnei ha'amudim gam mima'al mele'umas ha'beten asher le'ever ha'sevacha. And there were chapiters above also upon the 2 pillars, over against the belly which was by the network, v'arimonim masayim turim saviv al choseros ha'shenis. And the pomegranates were 200 in rows round about upon each chapiter. See the footnotes. Above also over against the belly. Chapiters above also upon the 2 pillars over against the belly, which is by the network. Says Rashi, the belly which is beyond the network, at the end of the network, at its rim, that is at the middle, at the place where it is attached. That the upper network is attached to the bowl, which is beneath it. So says Rashi. Sha'al ha'sevacha should read Sheha'sevacha. Okay. Rashi also, and the pomegranates were 200. The Ramona Masayim Turim, the pomegranates were 200. Pomegranates made in 2 rows around, strung together on a chain and encompassing the network. So says Rashi, and finally, upon each chapiter. Alakoseris Hashenis, literally upon the 2nd chapiter. This too is an abbreviated sentence, says Rashi. It means on the one and likewise on the second. Good, verse 21. Vayakem es ha'amudim le'ulam ha'echal. He set up the pillars in the porch of the temple. Vayakem es ha'amud ha'yamani. He set up the right pillar. Vayakura shmo Yachin. He called the name thereof Yachin. Vayakem es ha'amud ha'simali. He set up the left pillar. Vayakura shmo Boaz. He called the name thereof Boaz. Take a look at verse 21. The footnotes, in the porch of the temple. He set up the pillars Le'ulam ha'echal, in the porch of the temple. Literally, to the porch. Le'ulam ha'echal, to the porch. It is as though it said, Be'ulam ha'echal, in the porch, which was before the temple. So this is the Radak and the Metzudos. Right? And now the right pillar. Ha'omer ha'yemani. He set up the right pillar and he called it Yachin. The right pillar entering from the west. This right pillar was at the south side, and the left pillar was at the north side. So says the Metzudas David. He called them Yachin uVoaz. Yachin and Boaz, says the footnote, since these pillars were located at the entrance to the temple, their names were to stand for a symbol and good omen. Yachin, which stems from Hachana, preparation, to establish or secure, this temple shall be secure forever. I'm not sure about that. And Boaz, which is a compounded word, made up of bow and O's, in it is strength, meaning through the sacrifices which will be offered in this house, will the people of Israel find strength and courage, says the Radak and the Metzudas David. Okay, so that's interesting, and I hope you enjoyed that. That's like a little break in the action from just mere reading, establishing the names, Yachin and Boaz, Hachana, this temple shall be secure forever. I'm not sure what that means. In light of the fact that it lasted 500 years and then was destroyed, then its successor temple lasted also 400 or 500 years and was also destroyed. And I don't know what to make of that. Okay, I'm not sure what the word forever means over there, but that's what's going on over here. That's the word. 22. Bal Rosh Amudim. Masa Shushan, or Shoshan. Al Rosh Amudim Masa Shoshan, and upon the top of the pillars was lily work. Vatitom Melechas Amudim. So is the work of the pillars finished. See the Rashi over here, or the commentary. And upon the top of the pillars was lily work. A half cubit at the top of each pillar, its wall was as thin as a lily. And the rest of the pillar, its thickness was 4 fingers in hollow. Therefore, this cubit was not counted, a half cubit of each pillar, in the description of the pouring of the brass for the pillars in Chronicles 2, because it was not similar to the work of the rest of the pillars. So says Rashi. The Metzudas maintains that the lily work was not part of the pillar, but was attached to it after the pillar had been placed on the porch. Okay, and so was the work of the pillars finished. Since much work and many designs were still to be added, with this, the work on the pillars was completed, says the Radak in the Metzudas David. Good. Verse 23. Al Rosh Amudim Ma'aseh Shoshan. Good. Batitim Melechus Amudim. We did that. 23. Chaf Gimel. Vayaseh Sayam Mutzak. He made the molten sea. Eser Ba'ama Misfasa Ad Sfasa. 10 cubits from brim to brim. Agol Saviv. It was round all about. The Chamesh Ba'ama Kamasel, and the height thereof was 5 cubits. The Kavo Shloshim Ba'ama, and a line of 30 cubits, Yosovo Sosaviv, compassed it round about. Again, he made the molten sea. Hayam Mutzak, you're going to have to see that. Okay, that's going to be the first thing they're going to discuss. He made the molten sea 10 cubits from brim to brim. Round all about, and the height thereof was 5 cubits, and a line of 30 cubits encompassed it around about. Let's see the footnotes. Vayasa Hayam Mutzak, he made the molten sea, a great tub made in the form of a sea. The molten brass was poured into a form in the ground. says the Radak in the Mitzvahs David. Wow. It's really something. 10 cubits from brim to brim. By the way, the previous one was Radak in the Mitzvahs David, okay? This is Rashi. 10 cubits from brim to brim through the middle, since the diameter of every round object is through the middle. And a line of 30. And a line of 30. And a line of 30. This is what was said, quote, all that have three hand breadths in its circumference have one hand breadth in its diameter. Here too. Its circumference was 30 and its diameter 10. And from its midst, he pressures this. So says Rashi, cited from Gemara Erev in 14:8. See Tosfos there, who makes note of the inexactness of this ratio according to mathematicians. The height thereof, meaning its depth. And in Chronicles 2, he says that he made it for the priests to bathe in. He made this molten sea, this form thing, this tub. He made it for the Kohanim to bathe in when they are unclean and to immerse themselves in it for ritual purification. So says Rashi. Our sages questioned its acceptability for these purposes when the tub itself is nothing more than a small utensil, making the water in it, Mayim Sheuvin, drawn water. They explained, however, that the water therein was attached to underground wells through the legs on which it stood, which were hollow, allowing thereby a constant flow of well water. It was then considered as the well itself and was acceptable for the purposes of ritual immersion. So says the Radak on 726, source unknown, Sitaisus Psachim 109b, welcome, cites the Yerushalmi, volume and page unknown, see also Radak Chronicles 2, 4, 6, citing the same Yerushalmi. Welcome to the Burlovs. We're now going to continue on Pasuk 24. Top of page 74, Chavdalet Ufkaim Mitachas Lesfaso, Saviv Sovivim Oso, and under the brim of the sea, of this molten sea, there were knops, compassing it round about, Pekaim Eser Ba'ama Makifim Esayam Saviv, under the brim there were knops compassing it round about for 10 cubits, compassing the sea all around. Shnei turim hapekayim yitzukim bitzukaso. And the knops, or whatever you're going to pronounce it, were cast in two rows when it was cast, in its casting. Let's take a look at the footnote on 24. And there were knops. I have a better reading of that word. Jonathan rendered ufkaim, and the form of eggs, says Rashi. And the form of eggs. Others add that each form had the face of an ox. So says the Radak in the Mitzvahs. Under the brim, ufkaim nitachas lisfaso, there were knops under the brim. What does that mean? Under the brim, the knops were located in the lower three cubits, which were square. For so did we learn in the Gemara Erevin 14b. The three lower ones were square, and the two upper ones were round. And it will be impossible for you to contain 2,000 measures. See verse 26 later on, we're attending to it. And it will be impossible for you to contain 2,000 measures, which equal 150 ritual baths of purity, containing 40 measures of saw in each, except in this manner explained by the sages in Erevin. There are three sa'ah in each bas. It is impossible to say the upper ones were square and the lower ones were round, for it's written, quote, its brim was round all about, as we just saw in verse 23, indicating it was the top which was round. He therefore says by these knops, for 10 cubits compassing the sea round about, because in the place that it was square, a perimeter of 40 cubits has 10 cubits on each side, but in the place that it is round, it's impossible to say it has 10 cubits on each side around. So says Rashi. Now the Kotar al-Bag, there were 10 knops in each cubit. In the perimeter of 30 cubits, there was a total of 300 knops, and in the two rows, there were a total of 600 knops. As mentioned above, each one had the face of an ox. From the mouths of these oxen, the water of the sea would leave. Finally, a Rashi, the knops were cast in two rows when it was cast. Shneiturim hapekayim yitzukim bitzukaso. Everything, the sea and the knops, were poured together. It was not made in the manner that he attached the knops to it after they had been poured through nails or through soldering, which is called Sildur, Sudur in Old French.
Your family pronounced Saturn in modern English?
Yes.
It's spelled like soldering, but apparently Saturn. Pronounced Saturn.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
And here's the definition of nap.
Thank you.
The Targum
nap.
Say it's an egg or egg shape anyway.
A nap, we're told, is a small knob or similar rounded protuberance, especially for ornaments. Now we're going to hear how it's pronounced.
Knob.
Okay, I got it right. Thank you so much, Mrs. Brillo. That was great.
No,
thank you very, very much.
Yeah.
Okay, Pasuk Chaf Hei. O made al shnei asar bakar shlosha ponim tzafona. It stood on 12 oxen, 3 looking toward the north, u'shlosha ponim yama, and 3 looking to the west, u'shlosha ponim negba, 3 toward the south, u'shlosha ponim mizracha, 3 to the east.
What's it referring to here?
The sea.
Now, I don't think I thought so, but then look how it continues. Sea?
That's what they're calling it. There's a great body of work they call the
sea. He's like the mix of bathtub, whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, no, but it's possible because the Hemshah, the continuation is Behayom Aleihem, Bimamah. So what's Omeid? What is the subject of Omeid that stands on? Oh, so he's just reiterating what he had alluded to begin
right,
with.
Right.
You see my question?
Yes. I do. What was it? What's the subject over there in the
right,
singular?
Right, that's Hayom, which is an understood subject, and then later on, after he tells all the details of what was underneath, then he tells that the sea was over it. Right.
Right. So talking about this little sea over here. Omeid al shnei asar bakar, it stood on 12 oxen. 3 to the north, 3 to the west, 3 to the south, 3 towards the east. V'hayam aleihem milamala. And the sea was set upon them above. V'chol achoreihem baita. And all their hinder parts were inward. Take a look and see what we can glean from the commentators. Here we go, 25. Chaf he. It stood on 12 oxen. Made of brass. The oxen were also made of brass, says the Mitzvah's David. And all their hinder parts of these oxen, says Rashi, were inward. Their hinder parts were facing towards the bottom of the sea. The 3 which were in the north towards those in the south, and those in the east were towards those in the west. Excuse me. So says Rashi.
Right, they're all facing outward.
Right. Good, 26. The of Yo Tefach Usfaso Kimase Sfaskos Perach Shoshan. It was a hand breadth thick, and the brim thereof was wrought like the brim of a cup. The flowers of lilies, Shoshan. Alpayim Bas Yochel. It contained 2,000 measures. Let's see the footnotes. The Avyo Tefach, and it was a hand breadth thick. At its bottom and its walls, it was a hand breadth thick, except that at its edge, it was thin and beaten out and hammered, wrought like the brim of a cup, which we drink from, and decorated with flowers and lilies. So says Rashi. 2,000 measures. Alpayim bas yochel. This little private sea, contained 2,000 measures. 2,000 measures of bas totaled 6,000 measures of saw. Since the bas contains 3 saw, as it is said, the ephah and the bas have 1 measurement. A pasuk in Yechezkel 45, verse 11. The ephah and the bas have 1 measurement. And now in the parentheses it says, I fail to see any proof from this verse that a bas contains 3 saw. in Erevin 14, the proof is based on verse 14 in that same chapter. Maaser habas min hakor, the bas is the tithe of the kor. As Rashi explains there, a kor contains 30 saw, and since a bas is a tenth of a kor, each bas contains 3 saw. Rashi most likely referred to that chapter in general, rather than this verse in particular. R.H. And who is R.H.? Reuben Hochberg. I would think that's the editor. There's A.J. Rosenberg and R.H. Reuben, Rabbi Reuben Hochberg. 6,000 measures of saw are found to be 150 ritual baths of purity, each of 40 measures of saw. 4,000 measures equal 100 ritual baths, and the 2,000 equal 50 ritual baths. And even were you to divide everything according to the measurements by which the sages measured, a cubit squared by 3 cubits high for each ritual bath, you will find it to be the same. The lower part of the sea was 3 cubits high by 10 cubits square, which equal 100 square cubits, equaling 100 ritual baths. The upper part of the sea was 2 cubits high and round with a diameter of 10 cubits and contained sufficient water for, quote, 50 ritual baths, since the square is greater than the circle by 1/4. Subtract 25 baths from 100 for the difference of 1/4. That leaves 75. Now subtract 1/3 from 75 for the difference of 3 cubits high to 2 cubits, the height of the upper part of the sea, leaving 50. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 5, it is written, quote, it contained 3,000 measures. New over here it says 2,000 measures. So what's going to be? Over here it says Alpai and Bas Yachel. So what's the answer? Our rabbis explained it refers to a dry measure, since the overflow was 1/3 of the capacity of the receptacle. An overflow is only possible by dry measure. Hence, a capacity of 2,000 in liquid measure would be 3,000 in dry measure. Rashi, cited from Erevin 11b, is your source there. See Rashi, who adds, this 1/3 overflow is only true in a case where the height of the utensil is half the width and length, as in the case of the sea. Okay, I hope you got all that. Hope you enjoyed it. We go on to the next pasuk, and that is 27. Vayasas amechonos eser nechoshes. He made the 10 bases of copper. Arba ba'ama orech hamechona ha'echos. 4 cubits was the length of one base. Arba ba'ama rochba v'sholosh ba'ama komasa. And 4 cubits was its breadth, and 3 cubits its height. Okay, take a look at the footnote on 27. 3 cubits its height, the shalosh ba'ama komasa. There are several variations of the wording of this Rashi. The following is according to that found in the Malbim. Okay, 3 cubits its height, that is the height of the base. The height of the wheel upon which it rests was a cubit and a half. And the height of the base was a cubit and a half. The cubit of the height was square, but the half cubit was round, as it says in later on our chapter, verse 35, and in the top of the base there was a round compass of half a cubit high. All that Rashi. Good. Verse 28. V'zeh ma'aseh hamechona miskeros lahem. And the work of the bases was in this manner. Umiskeros bein hashalabim, and the borders were between the ledges. See footnote 28. They had borders. Miskeros lahem. They had borders. The work of the bases was in this manner. They had borders. The borders were from the axle of one wheel to the axle of the other wheel. And Yad HaOfen is the wood which is inserted into the wheel, in the hole. And it's called isel, acier in Old French, for axle. The word axle will derive out of that. And the four wheels of the bases had borders on this side and borders on the other side on all four sides.
Where does it say wheels in the text?
Wheels, let's see.
Yeah, I wondered if that said. All of a sudden, we're talking about wheels.
Yeah, good question. I don't know if I see wheels just yet. Maybe it's going to come up later on. I'm going ahead for a second. Let me see if I see a mention of wheels. Verse 32. Lamed Beis. Va'arba'as ha'ofanim. Mitachas la'mizgaros. And the four wheels were underneath the borders. Vidos ha'ofanim b'machona. And the axle trees of the wheels were in the base. And the height of each wheel, the komas ha'ofan ha'echad ama v'chatsi v'chatsi ha'ama. The height of each wheel was a cubit and a half of a cubit. And then there's another pasuk, 33, in the work of the wheels. So the wheels are going to come up soon in another couple of pesukim. But I don't see the wheels introduced to us before then. So everybody's question is good, but I just know how to answer it. It seems that we're going to have to wait for the wheels to be introduced to us soon. But at all events, I'm reading what I'm reading, and it seems to be it's going to be a long Rashi. Borders, this is 28. The Masa Machona Miskiros Lahem. Okay, they had borders. Again, the borders were from the axle of one wheel to the axle of the other wheel. And Yad HaOfen is the wood which is inserted into the wheel in the hole, and it's called Isu or Iso or Axle. And the four wheels of the bases had borders on this side and borders on the other side on all four sides. And it was four cubits wide between one and the other, and above there were blocks, such as blocks against the borders, such as and the ledges went from the lower borders to the upper ones, since there were other borders between the ledges, top of 76. Like the work of the legs of the bed of the villagers, which are not round but protruding, it should read bolit, in order to decorate them with lions and kruvim. And I say that these ledges were like the rungs of a ladder. Omit hatachitona. And I say that these ledges were like the rungs of a ladder, sort of brass rods standing on the borders. There were two or three rods. The borders were set between one rod and the other, connected from one ledge to the other. Jonathan, too, rendered this shlivaya, ledges. All of that was Rashi. That was verse 28. We go on to verse 29. V'al hamisgaros, asher ben hashalabim, arayos, bakar, uchruvim, and on the borders that were between the ledges were arayos, lions, bakar, cattle, oxen, uchruvim. V'al hashalabim, kain mimav. And on the ledges there was a base above. When we tachas la arayos or la bakar, liyos ma'ase morad. And they were beneath the lions and oxen were wreaths of thin work.
What is the third and the last word? How do you read that?
In the Hebrew?
Yeah. Lo yos.
Lo yos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we tachas la arayos for la bakar, lo yos ma'ase morad. And beneath the lions and the oxen were wreaths of thin work.
Okay, where is it again? This is all under the base, the sea, the bathtub, or am I so confused? It's getting to the details, I forget the whole picture.
Yeah. and on the borders that were between the ledges were. I think this is that little pond, that water
right,
that
right.
water thing that's been created. It's extremely elaborate.
And the bathtub on 3 feet, remember the
right.
traditional bath.
Absolutely right. So, and it's got borders between the ledges. It's got these animals who are protecting it of some sort, in a way. And the borders that were between the ledges were, and on those borders were lions, oxen, and kruvim. And on the ledges there was a base above, and beneath the lions and the oxen were wreaths of thin work.
Wow.
Very involved body of water. I can read a little bit of this footnote, and maybe we'll get a little bit more clarification. Verse 29, on the ledges which were between the borders, they were decorated with forms of lions, forms of oxen, and kruvim. Kruvim were human forms with wings. Excuse me. See Rashi and Radak. And on the ledges there was a base. And on the ledges there was a base. The Al Hashalabim came Mima'al. On the ledges there was a base above. Okay. And on the ledges there was a base. Cain is a base. Cain is a base to place the labor on it above the border which was on their top. So says Rashi. And beneath the lions and oxen, says Rashi, which were embroidered or attached on the outer borders which were between the ledges. It looked like wreaths. Okay? Loyos. Wreaths. As the word loyos, the yod replacing the letter vav, which is the ayin apoal, or middle letter of the verb. As yilave ishi elai, my husband will be joined unto me. That's going to be Genesis chapter
29,
verse 34. A reference to lady.
Mm-hmm.
As yilave ishi elai, my husband will be joined unto me. Here too, this was a form resembling a male and female joined together. So says Rashi and the Radak. That's fascinating. It just sounds like creation, earliest creation, where, according to the Midrashim, didn't God create man, and Chava was either on the back or Siamese twinned onto him? But I thought in back. It was male in the front, female in the back, and then he split them in a surgical procedure that took 22 hours at Montefiore Hospital.
Weren't the kruvim also a male-female embracing?
I thought...
Or at times embracing the male
and female. Yeah, that does sound familiar. For the kruvim, does sound a little bit familiar that we have a male and a female.
The time when Hashem was happy with the Israel, they'd be embracing the time...
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's interesting because this imagery would be considered pornographic by today's standards. It may be in art pieces and museums, but the probably the Christian rite and Kabbalah, probably the Shrimp people, these Jews, would be horrified at the notion of even suggesting it, let alone viewing it, you know.
Mm-hmm. There's a form resembling a male and a female joined together.
Right.
Could it be Siamese twins-wise?
And what's the theory of male and female? Is Zichari Keva, you know, Mukhubarim.
Mm-hmm.
It means three, obviously.
Yeah. Okay. We got to bow the rises if we can. We got to clean this up. Happily, very, very few Jewish people study Tanakh anymore. So nobody's really offended by this.
No.
Only the three of us
sit
here in shock. But we're not the only ones in the world. Because nobody else is reading and studying First Kings. Chapter 7.
We forgot about all the people online.
Oh, did I forget them? Sorry, you guys too also count. You, my wife thinks there are seven of you. Of thin work. Yeah, my opposing counsel in a case is doing some, oh my goodness, don't get me started. Thin work, thin arguments is what I say she's got. Of thin work. Okay, wreaths of thin work, hammered. resembling the hammering of a thin metal plate. They did not protrude with its thickness, nor were they engraved in a depression. They were hammered, not melted into this form, and Jonathan rendered loyos maase morad, joined the work of a welder, soldries in old French. Maase morad. They were hammered, and Jonathan rendered them loyos maase morad, joined the work of a welder.
So they were either molten in there as one piece, or they were soldered.
Well, they're contradictions. What does soldering really mean?
So he said they were hammered, not melted. So they were either they hammered them out to get to the piece, or they were soldered, which would require melting them to solidify them. So
what does soldering mean again?
Welding, where they
separately created and you have to fire them on?
Right, it gets heated up so it kind of melts so it sticks together.
You can attach
it.
So those are like two opposing opinions.
That's very, very interesting. Where do we see, do you see the semaphores from, say, one from the other? This is,
Rashi, they were hammered, not melted into this form, but Jonasson renders them lo yosmase morad, joined in the work of a welder.
Right.
And that is a different approach.
So there's two different approaches.
Right. Verse 30, well, we're getting places. Va'arba'a ofanei nechoshes la'mechona ha'achas v'sarni nechoshes va'arba'a pa'mosav kesefos lam. Verse 30. Each base had four copper wheels. La mechona ha'achas. Okay. To each base, the sarnei nechoshes, and tablets of copper. Va'arba pa'amosav ksefos lahem, and the four corners thereof had undersetters, we're told. That's the word used over here. Those undersetters, those who are setting it up. Let's go take a look and let's just finish up the pasuk. Mitachas lakior, they're underneath the kior, the laver, the washing area. Hakasefos yitzukos me'aver ish loyos. Under the laver, the undercutters were molten. At the side of each were wreaths. Okay. Yitzutos me'aver ish loyos. Under the laver, the undersetters were molten. At the side of each were wreaths. Let's go take a look and see what, if anything, we can glean from the... Wreaths. W-R-E-A-T-H-S.
A wreath. The heavens end of December.
Like it ends of December wreath. Holiday wreaths, and four wheels, v'arba ofane nechoshes, four copper wheels, two in the front, two in the back, of the manner of the large wagons, as though carrying the base. So says Rashi and the Mitzvah's David. And also we got to give her tablets of copper. Tablets of copper, Jonathan rendered benisrin dinchash, boards of brass.
Probably there's no das there, right? I'm guessing it's the sovereign. And that's there, right?
Well, he gives me the kudos.
He gives the kudos.
Venisrin.
Oh, maybe because that's Aramaic, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Venisrin dinchash.
He said that's a Yonos.
Right.
For which Hebrew word?
Tablets of copper. That's right.
Right. My question is, was this whole contraption portable? Was that the point for the wheels?
I can't, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure that they were, that there was a need for it to be portable. I'm not sure of that.
Leather wire wheels indicate some transportability. Right.
But over here, I'm not sure where they're going to transport this item. And I'm not sure why there are wheels as a result, because I don't know that it's moving someplace.
Yeah.
Have water will travel. Have mikvah will go.
Right.
Exactly. Let's go take a look and see the next, where are we holding? And tablets of copper. Jonathan, again. Jonathan rendered them vinistrin and hash, boards of brass. They are the upper boards which were against the borders, above the wheels, but at the bottom of the base. Above the wheels, but at the bottom of the base, and so says Rashi and the Ralbag and the Mitzvah. Now, tab.
And I could be way off on this, but we have these oxen, and the sea is sitting on the oxen.
Mm.
Now, is it sitting on these wheels, or are these wheels like part of a wagon kind of thing that the oxen would then be pulling? I don't know. I'm trying to.
It's golden or whatever.
I understand.
Right.
I understand that, but in terms of the imagery.
Two in the front, two in the back of the manner of the large wagons, as though carrying the base. Does that help us out at all? Large
That's
wagons.
I'm trying to figure out where those are in relationship to these oxen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's keep on cogitating on it, as we say. Okay? Tablets in this pasuk in 30, pasuk lamed, sarnei nechoshes, tablets of copper. Tablets, what's up with that? The word sarnei is as the word nisarim. It is not uncommon to find the letters of a word in an inverted order, as keves or kesev. And the four corners thereof. Okay? And the four corners thereof of the cane which was above them, they were above the wheels. So says Rashi. Okay, the sarnei nechoshes v'arba pa'amosav k'sefos lehem, and the four corners thereof had undersetters. Okay, they were above the wheels, says Rashi. They had undersetters, k'sefos lehem. They had undersetters, they are called k'sefos, shoulders, because they carried the labor as a shoulder carries a burden, says the Mitzvot. They protruded above the boards in the corners of the cane, and under the labor which rested upon the cane, the ken, the undersetters were molten, not soldered. Other editions have, this teaches us that the undersetters came from the B'nai, this teaches us that the undersetters came from the cane in one pouring, and the undersetters supported the labor so that it should not fall down through the cane. So says Rashi. Another comment, the cane which was on the base fitted into the hole in the center of the base. It was round at the top and square at the outset. The corners of the square prevented it from falling through the hole of the base and also supported the laver at the proper height and angle. So says the Mitzvot David. Okay, and we continue with this pasuk, one little paragraph. At the side of each were reeds. Yitzukos neiver ish loyos. At the side of each were reeds. It's going to be a Rashi. At the side of each of the undersetters, there was a joining of a male and female decorated. The words me'ever le'ish should be understood as ish el achiv, one to another, which is said by the Kruvim. Here too, ish means each one. Each means each one. So says Rashi. Pasuk 31, Lamed Aleph. Ufiyu mi beis lakoseres v'mala ba'ama, and the mouth of it within the chapter and above. Ufiha agol maaseim maasechein. Ama v'chatzi ha'ama. Okay, we'll stop it over there. And the mouth of it within the chapter and above was a cubit. Okay, and the mouth thereof was round after the work of a base. All right. Let's go see the footnote on that one. And the mouth of it within the chapter and above was a cubit. The mouth of it within the chapter and above was an amma, a cubit. The mouth of the cane extends outward of the mouth of the chapter and goes upward a cubit high. And the cubit is, and the chapter rather, is the roof of the house, of the base. The base is made resembling a hat, sloping on all sides, and in the center a round hole is set, 1 1/2 cubit wide in diameter, and around that hole a resemblance of an enclosure of a fence, 1/2 cubit high around. And thus is explained further in verse 35 in this subject, as it is said there, quote, and in the top of the base there was a round compass of 1/2 cubit high, end quote, and that is called, quote, the mouth of the chapter, end quote. And the cane rests on that enclosure. And the bottom of the cane is inserted into the mouth of the enclosure and protrudes 1 cubit above it. And this is what he said here. The mouth of it within the chapter and above was a cubit. So says Rashi. Okay, and the mouth thereof, let's see. We are still in 31. V'gamal piha miklos u'miskiroseim mirubaos lo agulos. And the mouth thereof was round after the work of a base, a cubit and a half, and also upon its mouth were gravings, and their borders were foursquare, not round. Let's go ahead and see the footnote. And the mouth thereof was round after the work of a base, and the mouth of the chapter was round, as the example of the cane, which was found at the bottom.
Which is round.
Mm-hmm. So says Rashi the Mitzvah. A cubit and a half, its width in diameter, says Rashi. And also upon its mouth were gravings, forms of flowers, says Rashi. Or for decoration and beauty, says the Malbim. And their borders were four square. Umiskiroseim rubos lo agulos. Upon its mouth were four gravings, and their bodies were, and their borders were four square, not round, says the Pasuk. Mirubos, four square, lo agulos, not roundabout. Okay? And the borders were four square, says the Ralbag. The borders of the bases were four square, although the labor was square at the bottom and round at the top. The Ralbag. 32. Lamed beis v'arbas ha'ofanim l'mitachas l'miskeros v'idos ha'ofanim b'machona. And the four wheels were underneath the borders, and the axle trees of the wheels were in the base. The koma sa'ofan ha'achad ama v'chatzi ha'ama. And the height of each wheel was a cubit and 1/2 a cubit. See the footnotes. And the four wheels were underneath the borders. So verse 32. Since the borders reached from the axle of one wheel to the axle of the other wheel, as I have explained previously. The borders were a low-hanging partition at the bottom of the base and against the hole in the wheat for the axle to fit into. So says the Mitzvah's David. And the axle trees of the wheels. That is the wood which is inserted into the wheels, and it's called, if you, in old French, or axle. Amazing how similar that word today really is to that word of 1,000 years ago. They were in the base. The axles were joined and melted to that base in one pouring. And the height of each wheel was a cubit and a half cubit. I believe this was not the height of the wheel, says the Ralbag, but of the axle from the ground, since the base is raised off the ground in this amount. They're all back. Okay, that was 32. Let's go on to 33. and we've got 5 minutes. Umaseh ha'ofanim, kemaseh ofan ha'merkava. And the work of the wheels was like the work of a chariot wheel. Yidosam v'gabehem v'chishukehem v'chishurehem hakol mutzak. The work of the wheels was like the work of a chariot wheel. Their axle trees and their knaves and their fellows and their spokes all were accounted for. We're all molten. They were all hakol mutzak. They were all molten. Let's go see 33. Okay, now, the work of the wheels like the work of a chariot wheel. What's that mean? As the work of the wheel of a royal chariot drawn by four horses, a symbol of status in that period. That's how it was done. It was looking like a really top-level royal chariot kind of wheel. So says the Abarbanel. Our sages suggest a loftier interpretation, as Targum Yonason renders, quote, as the work of the wheels of a chariot, a wheel within a wheel crosswise, as he says in Yecheskel, chapter 10, verse 10, in reference to the dream of the heavenly chariot. Rashi, source unknown. Shlomo understood with his infinite wisdom that which Yecheskel attained through prophecy. He therefore added these unusual decorations of the faces of oxen and lions and the cherubim. So says the Abarbanel. Well, there are their axle trees. Assume you in Old French, says Rashi, and their knaves, and their fellows. Just read the whole thing in English. And the work of the wheels was like the work of a chariot wheel. Their axle trees and their knaves and their fellows and their spokes were all molten. And their knaves, boyoles in Old French, they are the holes for the axles, says Rashi. Matsudas maintains that this is the hub in which the hole is. The Rabag prefers to render Gibeham, the outer rim of the wheel. And how about that word, fellows, their fellows, v'chishukehem. They are the enclosures around which bind them together, says Rashi. The Ralbag says, chashukehem are the hubs in which the axles turned. Okay, and finally, we're ending up over here at 33, and their spokes, v'chishurehem, the arms of the wheels, which are attached from the holes of the wheel to the other rim, which is called reis in Old French. Okay, people. There you have it. We knocked off a little bit, and with God's help, next time we meet, we should be able to hopefully, well, you know what? Chapter 7 just goes on and on and on to verse 51. But we're getting there, and we're going to do what we can, and thank God we're slowly but surely cutting through the material. But it's an extremely long chapter.
Chapter is going to what the
chapter? Is this the temple? Ah, now that's what I'm talking about. Look at that. Where'd you get that? What did Solomon's Sea look like? And there it is. This enormous, big people. And so this is really brought up like an illustration on bjornolav.blogspot.com. Bjornolav.blogspot.com. It's a big, big, big bath. Looking thing, and there are animals in front of it. Wow.
Sitting on top of the animals, which are all facing out.
All facing out. These animals are all facing outwards.
Yeah, so just that we talked about.
Wow. That is now suddenly things are making some sense to me. That's beautiful. Thank you so much. Okay. Yes, folks. I think we did verse 33, Komutzak, and now we'll pick it up at 34. What's today? Let's see what today is. If it is, today's date, 23.
Here's another picture.
Yeah. Let's see what you got there. Wow. That must have been one beautiful thing. Beautiful structure. Yeah, those animals again, this time without that little, like, you know, carriage. There's a little carriage in front of it. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining. God willing, we'll meet again next week, and we'll try to continue our study of Chapter 7, which is difficult, but we're doing what we can. Wishing everybody an extremely enjoyable rest of the week. Take care and be well.
I want to ask you about the kitchen.